Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the Malachi to my Isaac. Little Children of the Corn reference there.
So let me get this straight. You had an entire week to come up with something like obscure.
No, I had about 5 minutes because I realized that. I realized that I didn't have one yet right before we started. But anyway, he is Tarkel Bashir. I never gave you a name.
Yeah. You know, in reality, it's like you're the 13th forward to my first line center. But let's go with the Children of the Corn. Okay.
I wanted to get one last Halloween reference in there.
All right. I'll give it to you.
Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about identity, what it means, what it is, and why it is important the Caps are working so hard to find a new one. And we're going to look at teams who have had surprising starts to the season and ask, will it last? But first, Tarek, how was your Halloween?
It was okay. Nothing spectacular. I took my son to his hockey practice, and the head coach dressed up as Mario from Mario Brothers, which was nice. Kind of funny. Yeah. I tweeted out a picture of that. I missed all the trick-or-treaters by the time I got home from watching 13-year-old boys skate around for nice. 90 minutes. But, how was yours?
It was good. I was Alan from The Hangover, mostly because I could carry a baby around. That was the whole point of the costume.
Okay.
Since we have a baby. My wife is a stripper. from The Hangover. Okay. Now, usually I do not allow tandem costumes because a few years ago I had this great idea that I was going to be This was when Miley Cyrus, the whole twerk thing.
Right.
I said, we'll go as Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke. You'll be Robin Thicke and I'll be Miley Cyrus. And it was great. We got this whole costume together. I looked totally ridiculous. It was hilarious. But her costume was basically a striped jacket, just like the one that he had. We get to the party. We go to a costume party. We get to the party. Within 5 minutes, she goes, it's hot in here. Takes her jacket off. She looks like she's dressed completely normally. So for the rest of the night, everybody looked at me and was like, what the hell are you supposed to be? Because no one understood because I was there by myself. And so I spent the whole night yelling at her that was it. No more tandems.
I'm really, really glad that you get into costume and are really into Halloween. I'll be honest. I'm kind of a party
pooper.
I think Halloween is just lame. I mean, it's like the Arizona Coyotes of holidays. I just can't really get into it. I mean, I eat a lot of chocolate, but I eat a lot of chocolate anyway. I just think it's a lame holiday. Because
how could it be a lame?
It's lame because it's supposed to be scary, and 90% of the people who dress up as things, it's not even scary. It's just like trying to be a character from a movie or
then go watch a horror movie or
like what's scary about Miley Cyrus? She's not scary. Robin Thicke
isn't
scary.
So your problem is that the costumes aren't scary enough?
It's Halloween. It's
you understand
scary.
That most of the people who dress up are children, right?
And they should be like little ghosts and goblins. I mean, like something sort of scary. I mean,
okay,
yeah.
So that's your problem with Halloween?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well. That's I'm
you're speechless.
I'm pretty speechless at that. I don't really know what to say. Let's move on to the Capitals.
Right.
Yes, like a spoiled teenager or that person you hate on Facebook, the Capitals need to find themselves. They need to find their identity. We've heard a lot about that on their trip to Western Canada. We've heard a lot about that since they've come home. But that's one of those things that I think a lot of people will sit there and go, what does that mean? mean? So, yep. Tark, what does that mean?
To me, an organization has an identity, not so much a team, which is why I think people get so confused. I feel like organizations have a philosophy, a who we are type approach to the players they get and the style of play they implement, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey. Coaches come and go, general managers come and go. The Steelers still have a great defense. You know, certain teams are just known for what they do. And I think it solves a lot of problems because you're not just, you know, putting your finger up in the air, you know, and kind of seeing what direction the wind is blowing this season. And
Tarek literally put his finger up in the air.
Yeah. You're after,
for all you people
after looking at. So and trying to decide what they're going to be this year. They are what they are, and they are that way for a number of years. And so when I think of the Capitals' identity, I think of a team that's relatively big and heavy, that can grind you down, that's got some really top-end players that fill the net up with pucks. And I feel like that's who they want to be. And when you listen to what Barry Trotz said after that Edmonton game, he said he feels like they kind of found themselves a little bit. And I think they got back to using their size and their kind of imposing their will and a little bit of intimidation in their game. And because they've got some guys who can throw their bodies around a little bit. And I'm thinking about, Tom Wilson, and so getting back to your question, your original question, I feel like an identity is more what an organization is, not necessarily what a team that year is. That's why I even kind of struggle with it a little bit when someone says, what is this year's Capitals team's identity? I feel like it's more of what is a team under, under a certain coach or under a certain general manager? What are they trying to be?
Well, Barry Trotz wants this team to be defensively responsible, wants them to be a little bit heavier, wants them to be more of a grinded-out team. The reason why this is changing and the reason why it's been such a talked-about subject in the last few weeks is because that's really not exactly who they were the last couple years, just because they had so much skill on the roster, and especially after the first series that they lost to the Pittsburgh, where everyone said, oh, speed is what you do. Speed, 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 speed. So I think they tried to play a faster game last year. A very skilled, very fast game last year. Maybe went away from the physicality a little bit. Because, I mean, compare the two series against the Penguins in 2016, where basically their strategy was, we are going to knock Chris Letang out of this series. We are going to knock him out. And then last year was a very, very different sort of series, where it was possession heavy. Capitals are keeping the puck in Pittsburgh zone as much as possible. It's more skilled, more speed.
Yeah.
So why does it have to change? They don't have the personnel for that anymore. Is it just that simple?
I don't think it's just that simple. I do see where you're going there. I mean, I guess you do have to make some adaptations from year to year, but getting back to being defensively responsible, I mean, that is a hallmark of a Barry Trotz coach team. And I mean, last year they allowed fewer goals than anyone else during the season. And I think when you talk about getting back to your identity, and when Barry was talking about that after the Edmonton game, it wasn't just about using that size. It was also taking care of your own end, being on the right side of pucks and not giving up so many grade A chances. And that's how this team is going to succeed this year.
Right.
They're not going to score as many goals as they did last year. They still have two of the best goaltenders in the league. The defense is young in some areas. It's banged up right now. If this team is going to get to the playoffs and make any sort of run, it's going to be because they get 23 players to buy into the fact that they've got to be detailed in their own end. They've got to be detailed in the neutral zone. They have to limit the number of grade A scoring chances the other teams get, and you know, trust that the goaltenders are going to make those big saves when you know when there are breakdowns. But it's going to be very difficult for this team to think that they're going to be able to spot a team a 2-goal lead,
right?
And they're just going to come roaring back the way they did in previous years. It's going to be keeping games tight and looking for opportunities, and when you get those opportunities, cash them in.
There were times over the last few years where the Capitals would hold teams to maybe 1 or 2 goals, and you would walk away from that game, and you wouldn't sit there and think that they played all that well defensively. And in fact, they made a lot of mistakes, but they were so loaded. They had the puck the entire time. They had the skill to make up for those sort of egregious mistakes. Right. They don't have that this year. This year, those mistakes are ending up in the back of their net.
And it's also it's little things too. You know, when you're playing with a lineup that has, you know, second liners on the third line and third liners on the fourth line, your passes can be a little off, but the guy has the hand skills to make that play.
Right.
Now, if your pass is a little bit off, it's going off their skate and it might be a turnover. I mean, they're little things that you just can't get away with. And so you got to be more attentive in your own end and more detail oriented and better defensively and be maybe a little bit more cautious, be a little bit more conservative. Play less wide open at times where you think you can make a fancy pass where, you know what, the prudent play might be making a short play to someone who's closer or dumping the puck and going and getting it rather than trying something pretty because, quite frankly, those bottom players don't have the skill level that they did in previous years, and those plays just aren't available.
One way that has manifested itself in the early season that I've noticed is the breaking into the offensive zone. Mm. Usually they were a team that would carry possession, have an organized entry.
Some zone entries have been a problem.
And zone entries have been a problem. They're not a team, I mean, the third and fourth line, they can dump it in. They're used to that. But some of the more skilled players aren't used to doing that, and so it's not their first instinct. And we saw that it was the game-winning goal against Calgary. Dmitry Orlov takes the puck. He didn't want to dump it in, so he tries a pass at the blue line. It gets intercepted. Mm-hmm. It goes back the other way. It ends up in the back of the Caps net. That is a situation where he just needs to dump it in the corner.
That's a good example. So, I mean, part of it is approach, and part of it is breaking habits that you developed over the previous 48 months.
You just
can't do things the way you used to do it. And I'll be honest, I feel like the Edmonton game might have been the start of a little bit of a turning point. I mean, if you're an optimist, you know, that maybe they have kind of rediscovered or it's starting to sink in how they need to play this year.
That was probably the best iteration of how they need to play to be successful this year, was that Edmonton game.
And I thought they played well in Calgary. You know, they got the win against the Islanders where – you know, I think that game could have gone either way. As Trotz said after that game, their top six was better than our top six.
By the way, just as an aside, that was a game where the Islanders pretty much dominated the Caps statistically in almost every way. That shows you how important getting that first goal is. I think the Capitals were outplayed by the Islanders. They never trailed at any point in that game. That's how important that first goal is.
First goal is important. It's just less exhausting mentally, physically. You know, especially at home, it gets the crowd behind you. And you know what? People sometimes kind of, you know, overlook that. It matters.
Yeah.
You know, it matters. So getting that first goal is paramount, and it'd be nice if they could make that into a bit of a trend as opposed to an anomaly.
Yeah. So we mentioned the Edmonton game, but how far along are the Caps in discovering that new identity, getting to that place where they know how to play?
I mean, that's kind of a nebulous question. I mean, like I said, I feel like if that Edmonton game where they did a good job of shutting down Connor McDavid, they did a good job of, you know, taking care of their own end and just in general executing, you know, that was just one of their best performances of the season against a team that has a lot of talent but isn't playing very well right now. It carried over a little bit into Calgary. The Islanders game wasn't the best, but they got a win. I mean, I need more information, but I think that if they can do a better job in terms of limiting some of those prime scoring chances, I think this team is going to be where it needs to be at the end of the year.
Yeah.
We're going to take a look at some of the other teams across the NHL right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back, Tarek. Let's take a look across the NHL at some of the more surprising starts to the season.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of surprising teams so far, but let's look at some of the more surprising storylines. Now, it is early, small sample size, so some of these teams, either they'll fall back down to the rest of the pack, or they are better than how they played. Some of these teams, though, this is who they are. So let's try to figure out which is which. Let's start with the Montreal Canadiens. 4-8-1.
The Montreal Carey Prices?
Yeah, pretty much. 4-8-1, last in the Atlantic and the East. Tark, what's going on with the Habs?
Well, their best player has not been their best player. I mean, it really isn't that simple.
Yeah.
But when your most important player, who plays the most important position, is not where he should be, and I'm talking about Carey Price here, and your game plan and your salary structure, everything is built around this one player, that's a problem. I'm looking at the top 10 goalies right now in save percentage and goals against average and wins and shutouts, and normally Carey Price's name or his face is all over those leaders. He's not anywhere to be seen.
Right.
And that's a problem for that franchise. It's a problem for that team, given the commitment they've made to him. I'll be honest. Look, when the Capitals played against him earlier this year, that second goal that they scored, where it looked like he just kind of – it didn't look like a play you're used to seeing, a goal you're used to seeing Carey Price give up. And there were a couple more in that game where it was just like, ooh, that wasn't a very good performance. That wasn't a very good – who knows what's going on there. Yeah. But until he starts playing better – you know, it's a lot like a Jonathan Quick situation in L.A. I mean, you know, they got bailed out a little bit last year with some good backup goaltending. But you know what? I mean, when your franchise is kind of built around somebody, built around a goaltender, and they struggle,
yeah,
it's the result.
Montreal is a team that, to me, refuses to acknowledge the modern NHL. They have some good offensive players. Some, not enough, but they have some. But the problem is they can't get the puck to any of them because they have no puck-moving defensemen. And so their solution to that this offseason was, quick, get me Carl Alzner on the phone. I love Carl Alzner, but that's just doubling down on the defense they had. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fixing the problems that were staring them in the face. So it's no surprise to me to see them struggle a little bit. Are they this bad? Probably not. But coming into the season, I didn't see them as a playoff team, and I've seen nothing to suggest that I was wrong there. Let's move on to the New Jersey Devils.
Carey Price has an .877 save percentage.
That can't happen. No. You cannot be successful if you are the Montreal Canadiens and you have that. And by the way, that new contract that carries, what, $10 million a year or 10.5?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It has not started yet.
Starts next year.
So good luck to you, Montreal. Let's move on to the New Jersey Devils, a team that most people pegged for dead last in the Metro. Tarek, they're 9-2-0. They're tied for first.
It's the Marcus Johansson effect.
Is this going to last?
Well, they got a lot of young, exciting players, and I do think that they're headed in the right direction, no doubt about it. I think sometimes the addition of one or two players can kind of expedite a rebuilding process, and you know, it's been a few years, but I think maybe getting Marcus Johansson is really, even though he's had some ups and downs. I know he was found himself in the coach's doghouse, and now it seems like he's banged up. You know, Nico Hischier has played very well. Will Butcher's played very well. Yeah, I would certainly count them as a surprise, no doubt about it.
They're definitely surprised. They got really fast, really quickly. I liked the direction they were going this offseason. I thought, okay, now you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're getting the pieces in place. Now they've got something that they can build on. I didn't think it would be this fast. They look really good. Do I think this will last all year? No, I don't think they're going to win the Metro, but I thought they were still at least a year away from challenging for the playoffs. They could be a playoff team this year. They could be top three, probably not, but they could be a wild card team this year, I think.
Well, you know, as they say, you can't make the playoffs in the first month, but you sure can't miss them.
Yeah.
And I think the fact they're banking some points right now, right. I think as the league gets more and more difficult over the next, you know, every 20 games, it gets a little harder.
Yep.
The teams that are doing well right now, I think the Devils are going to be around. I think they're going to hang around.
Yeah.
They're well coached. Like I said, they've I agree with you. I think they have arrived maybe a year earlier than most anticipated, but I think they're a good team.
The issue for them is defense, but as long as Corey Schneider is playing well, then they may be in good shape. Vegas, probably the biggest surprise of the early season. Vegas doing it now with scotch tape. There may be no job more dangerous in the United States than being the goalie of the Vegas Golden Knights. Tarik,
what are they down to, like number six now?
Yes. This can't possibly last, can it?
Well, look, man, I'll tell you this. We're not talking about the Columbus Blue Jackets breaking into the league or, you know, the Florida Panthers or some of these other teams where the roster, you looked at it, you were like, this is that. What is this? I mean, this is an ECHL roster trying to win NHL game. No, this is a good roster. Gerard Gallant is a great coach.
Yep.
George McPhee is a good manager. We saw that for 15 years here in Washington. And I think that they are a team that is greater than the sum of its parts. You know, I don't look at that roster and go, wow, they're top heavy. Or I just see a team of good players.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, good players.
Right.
And I think when they start getting some of these goaltenders back, I'm not saying that they're gonna make the playoffs, but I think they might make the playoffs. I think they might challenge for a spot. They're not gonna be 15th or 16th,
right?
Come March,
they're
gonna be in that, in my opinion, in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th spot. You know, that group of teams that's always within like 2 points of the cutoff, one way or another, and I say there's a decent chance they get in.
Before they had the goalie problems, I thought that this would not be a playoff team. They certainly had an incredible start to the season. No one can take that away from them. With their goalie issues, they're obviously going to have some struggles here, and you're starting to see that now. Hopefully they'll get their goalies back soon so they can try to compete for the playoffs, but I don't see them being able to reach the postseason this year, and it would be quite the accomplishment if they were able to do that.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong?
You're okay. Wrong.
All right, we'll see. Mr. New York Islanders are my dark horse to win the division last year.
Well, all right. Look, before last night in D.C., they had won 5 of 6.
Okay.
It's a good team.
This was your prediction for last year, for that team that didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, but they were all sorts of – there were a myriad of issues. They had things working against them last year.
Speaking of a team that has a myriad of issues – the Edmonton Oilers, a team that many predicted would compete for the Western Conference, they are 3-7-1 after handing out some big-time contracts to lock this team in place. They're in a bit of trouble, Tarik.
They are, and I'll be honest, man. Based on the talent, especially their top-end talent, it's kind of amazing they're struggling the way they have. But I don't know. They've made some high-risk moves in recent years, and I always wondered how they were going to play out. I don't know. I think they're missing Taylor Hall. I think they're missing Jordan Eberle. I think there's some moves that maybe didn't work out quite the way they thought they were going to. I mean, for the Capitals to be scuffling the way they did to go into their barn and just kind of manhandle them.
Yeah. Five straight goals. They were down two nothing, scored five straight.
That was kind of eye-opening, I think, for a lot of people, that game. But I do think that they are a team that's going to have a chance to rally.
Yeah.
They got a lot of talent. I wouldn't count them out just yet. Now, get week to Thanksgiving, and they're still, you know, in that bottom third of the league.
We will revisit the standings at Thanksgiving because that has become the benchmark for teams that will make the playoffs. First and foremost for me, Cam Talbot has to be better. I haven't liked the way he has played so far this season. He has got to be better.
Cam Talbot?
Yep.
Or maybe last year was an aberration.
I mean, maybe. He was a backup who was promoted to starter.
Yeah.
They got him from the Rangers. And
I mean, when I look at a goaltender, when I look at elite goaltenders, mm-hmm. those are guys who have done it year after year after yes. year. And he had a great year last year.
Right.
Great year.
Great year.
But sometimes you look at those great years and you're like, and you look at the year that came before and the year that came after, and you're like, okay, well, that was
right.
him playing out of his mind, and that wasn't really sustainable. But we'll yep. see.
Guys, it's almost time for another Mailbag podcast. We will do one either next week or the week after. So be sure, if you want to have your question read and answered on the next Mailbag pod, send your questions to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. We need some more ratings and reviews. Please. Give us a good rating. Please write us a good review. People read that. People important read those things. And it helps keep us employed.
Stop groveling. We need more. Give us some.
And please, give some love. Wherever you get this podcast, be sure to subscribe. That does matter as well. Also, I don't know if you've heard, Tarek, there's a second Capitals podcast by NBC Sports Washington. It is the Capitals Extra Podcast. The morning after every game.
Capitals, I'm on that one too. So.
The Capitals Extra Podcast. That comes out the morning after every game. Be sure to subscribe to that and check that one out. It's pretty darn good, and I should know because I edit it. Tarek, the first month is behind us. Now we're looking forward to November. We're going to see if the Caps can turn things around before the all-important Thanksgiving benchmark. Hopefully they're in the playoff position by then because, as you know, if you're not in the playoff position by then, the season is over, and then that everything after that doesn't matter. Right? Is that the way it works?
Unless you are the 2007-2008 Capitals, who
yes.
rose like the phoenix in the desert
yes.
from dead last place at Thanksgiving. When I was here in the Kettler Capitals Iceplex press box writing about a coaching change on yes. Thanksgiving Day.
That was Thanksgiving, wasn't it?
It was Thanksgiving morning.
It was Thanksgiving Day.
I got a call at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. How fast can you get to Kettler?
That's fun.
Yeah, not fun. I got my Thanksgiving dinner. But I was just late.
But you know what is fun? Hanging out with you guys. For Tarek El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Let's get the puck out of here.